choice candidates, including Republicans in the past, they give them also campaign support. So, you know, they'll go out there, they'll do mailers, they'll help get the vote out. I mean, there's a lot of support for candidates that align with the teacher union values. Parents are far more dispersed. We've got a million things going on in our lives. We don't have that kind of political capital necessarily, but that is very much changing. We saw that, for example, with the election of Glenn Youngkin out east. You know, here's somebody that it didn't matter that the teachers unions opposed him adamantly. Voters and parents stood up and said, hey, I'm going to spend my money and spend my vote where it's actually going to matter on this issue. And as that starts to happen, we've seen that in more and more states, you're going to start to see Democrats do the political calculus and say, you know what, it's actually going to be more profitable for me politically to align with these parents than it is for me to align with this special interest that currently makes money through the public education system. And that's really what it's going to take, is parents saying, this is my issue, and you have to line on this issue, otherwise you're not getting my vote and you're not getting my support.
I'm curious where support against voter integrity is coming from. There again, 70% of Nevadans favor voter ID, yet the Dems say it's dead on arrival. What's the deal?
Well, you've got some, you know, progressive groups, again, both activist groups, but also you know, groups that tend to align with progressive values that have long opposed this sort of thing. They're really interested. They focus only on one half of the voting equation. If you're talking about the voting system, you should be focusing on ease of access, making sure it's accessible to people that can vote, and making sure it's secure. And a lot of these progressive activist organizations only focus on the ease of access. And they're a very concentrated power as opposed to the average voter, who is more of a dispersed power. You know, you think about the average voter out there. Sure, 70% of voters might agree with voter ID. For how many of those voters is it in the top five of their most important issues, or even the top 10? Many of them might say that's a good idea, but that's not what I'm going to base my vote on. And that's really what it boils down to, and that's part of the reason why Democrats have been able to get away with it for so long, opposing things like that, was, unfortunately, for too many voters, it's just not one of the top issues that they care about.
One of the top issues that a lot of people care about, and they should, I'm just back from the border, and that is border security, illegal immigrants. Title 42 goes away on Thursday. Can you give me a guesstimate of what's going to happen? I know that Alejandro Mayorkas was on one of the Sunday shows yesterday talking about it, and he didn't make a very convincing argument, I got to admit. give me your take on what's going to happen after Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those issues that no matter how National Democrats try to spin it, the average person looks at this and says, well, this, it's not going well. The border is just not going well. It's not working right now. And what's interesting, and this is, you know, one of the great things about the mainstream media or the traditional legacy media no longer having the power that they used to have, even though they aren't really talking about it that much, people are noticing. And that tells me that, you know, after Thursday, there's going to be, of course, a lot of talk about it in Washington, D.C., and we'll see what happens. But come the next election, if nothing substantive happens on the border, people are going to be looking at the chaos down there and saying, wow, 4 years of that is not only crazy, but it's actually irresponsible for a member of any party to be okay with that chaos on the southern border going on for 4 years. So it's going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to be a big issue as we ramp up into the presidential debates.
So what should candidates, what should Jim Marchant do running for the Senate? Any of the candidates are going to be running in the congressional races. What should they be saying? What should they be saying on the stump about people like Jackie Rosen and Catherine Cortez Masto and members of the delegation, the congressional delegation? What should they be saying about this?
Well, you know, I mean, my advice to politicians for years now, and this isn't even anything new, and it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat or what have you, you know, your message on the border has to be, look, we can disagree and we can have an open debate about how much immigration we should have into this nation, about how loose the immigration standards ought to be. But all of that is beside the point. You can't have those conversations if you aren't serious about actually making sure that there's a border. And unfortunately, a lot of folks in Washington, D.C. have put that as a last priority. They aren't actually interested in securing the border. They're interested in winning political points, talking about immigration more broadly speaking. So I think it's important for candidates to say, look, we need to be open about having a discussion on what our immigration system should look like. But in order for us to have that discussion, we have to first actually have a border and an immigration system that's operating correctly. And that really should be what most of the Republicans are hitting on, especially if, as I predict, not a whole lot's going to actually move forward in Washington, D.C. between now and then.
Coming up, we're going to talk about new polling coming up. ABC News, Washington Post poll, Trump up by 6 over Biden. DeSantis up by 5 over Biden. Has something happened in the presidential race that has turned this thing upside down? Because it previously was the opposite. It was Biden up by 6. Now it's Trump up by 6. DeSantis up by 5. We'll talk. And by the way, Trump is leading DeSantis by 25 percentage points. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Couple of new accidents since we last spoke. State Route 160 at Level Canyon Road. Also a crash Mojave at Harmon. Got a hit and run. This time it's Pecos at Flamingo. And fender benders carry at Nellis. Charleston at Rainbow. Do expect some delays both directions on Interstate 15. It's that Dropicana construction zone. And as you know by now, it's going to be there for a while. So give yourself some extra time to squeeze through. Interstate 15 northbound at Russell, southbound 15 at Spring Mountain. And as you work your way through the downtown Spaghetti Bowl, watch for some right shoulder activity there. 515 northbound at Main Street.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, I'm Bob Stitch with this KMZQ Sports Flash. This update powered by Progressive. The Suns beat the Nuggets 129-124 to tie their Western Conference semifinal series at 2 games apiece. Devin Booker, 36 points, 12 assists. Kevin Durant also had 36 points. Backup guard Landry Shamet made 4 crucial three-pointers in the fourth to keep the Suns ahead. Denver came up short despite a huge game from MVP runner-up Nikola Jokic. He had 53 points on 20 of 30 shooting. The series returns to Denver on Tuesday night for Game 5. The Nationals rallied back to beat the Diamondbacks 9-6 on Sunday. Joey Meneses with a 3-run homer in the ninth off Miguel Castro. Meneses with 4 RBI after Washington rallied from a 4-run deficit. The result prevented Arizona's first sweep of the Nats since 2009. Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Golden Knights at Edmonton. The best of 7 tied at 1 game apiece. This update powered by Progressive. I'm Bob Stitch from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip with your KMZQ Sports Flash.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to Oxfords or T-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Meet Joe A, hi. Joe B, hello. And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B is cruising toward his new ride with AutoSave. And Joe C's Chase banker is helping him budget to go back to school. Tools that help protect. Support for what's next. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Messaging and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Final segment with Michael Schaus, former communications director for NPRI, the founder of Schaus Creative. Explain for those that don't know what Schaus Creative is and what is it you do.
Yeah, it's a branding, marketing, and creative studio. The way I explain it is whether you're an organization, a business, or an individual, you're trying to tell a story. And we are here to help you tell that story. So we do everything from media training and coaching and marketing to branding guidance, messaging, and even content creation like videos and photography and graphic design. So anything that you need to go out there and tell the world your story and actually change the world around you, that's what we do.
And if people want to reach out to you, how do they do it?
Easiest thing to do is go to Schaus Creative. That's S-C-H-A-U-S creative.com. You'll see the whole site, everything that we do right there. You can sign up for a newsletter. You can reach out to me via email there. You can also find me on Twitter, which I'm not super active, but I am there usually every day. I'm there a little bit, so it's an easy way to get a hold of me or catch my attention if you need me.
New polling is out. Washington Post ABC News poll showing that Trump is now leading Biden by 6 points. And this is important. Ron DeSantis, who will be here at the Basque Fry, is up by 5 points on Biden. What has happened? Because that's almost the inverse of what we saw a few months ago. What has happened to the polling for the presidency?
Yeah, I mean, it's still relatively early. So you're going to see a few more flips, I'm pretty sure, between now and even just the next couple of months, you're probably going to see a couple more flips, because it's early enough that this is still very theoretical to people. If somebody calls you up and says, hey, do you like Biden or Trump? You just kind of go with your gut instinct. I like Trump more. As it gets closer and people start really considering this, that's where you're going to see a little bit more shifts, and that's when I'm going to start to trust the polling a little bit more, especially as the GOP field actually comes into shape. We see how serious people are about running. We get to know folks, even like DeSantis, a little bit better than we already do. You're probably going to see a bit more shifting on that. I think what it does say, though, is at least at the moment, Joe Biden continues to be as weak a candidate as he always has been. He's not running away with any support. His biggest selling point for most people that support him is the fact that he's not Donald Trump. And that's probably not a good position for an incumbent to be in when his only strength is that he's not his opponent.
On the Republican side, in a six-candidate question, it's Trump 51%. That is a majority. DeSantis at 25%. So double what DeSantis does. That's what you've got in Trump. You've got Nikki Haley at 6%. You got Mike Pence at 6%. Tim Scott at 4%. And Asa Hutchinson at 4%. That is what is fascinating to me, is that the former president is racking up a huge, huge margin right now. Again, snapshot, I get that part, but is there a lesson to be learned here for DeSantis that maybe what he needs to do is retool for 4 years down the road?
I think DeSantis is probably doing all right. He's probably looking at that, not too worried, because you think back at previous election cycles. I mean, Jeb Bush looked like he was going to run away with everything. He was just going to be coronated, and hey, look at that. It didn't happen. So I think he's probably taking the right approach, saying, okay, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing and maybe get a little bit more aggressive in my outreach efforts, especially once he officially announces and starts to really hit the pavement. you're probably going to see him turn a little bit more aggressive, or some of the super PACs might turn a little bit more aggressive towards, for example, Donald Trump, talking about his, you know, is he electable in a general election? And that's going to be whoever is the main challenger against Trump. That's going to be their question for Republicans. They're going to say, do you believe that this guy, Donald Trump, is likable enough in the general election to take down Joe Biden? And obviously that's a question everybody's going to answer for themselves. But my guess is that's going to be the strategy of whoever feels like they've got a lead or a second place behind him.
I'm just curious, and again, put your branding hat on. Would it be better for a candidate to go directly against Biden and ultimately ignore Trump, almost as if Trump isn't even in the room?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of what DeSantis has kind of been doing. I think part of what might have hurt DeSantis recently is his war against Disney, and that it's just kind of been a sideshow. I think if he had focused a little bit more on economic issues, more talking about Biden and congressional Democrats, he'd probably be in a better position right now, because the Disney thing just feels like a sidetrack, even though I know he feels like the culture wars is terribly important. But you're absolutely right. If somebody is out there talking about Biden and then Donald Trump is attacking them, but they're not necessarily responding, that's going to be a good look for that candidate. And quite frankly, it might not be a great look for Donald Trump. I've heard from a lot of Republicans, they're a little upset with how much he's going after DeSantis, because even if they might prefer Trump, they still like DeSantis. And so it bothers them a little bit that he's hitting so hard. So I think you're right. Not reciprocating and just focusing on, you know, the issues that actually matter would be a really good first step for anybody that's in the GOP field.
Biden's too old. He's too incompetent. You know, so much is going wrong on his watch. Is that the message then that should be coming forth from any of these folks, Tim Scott, anybody?
Yeah, I mean, all those are awfully good talking points. Also, you know, add into that the fact that our economy is still not great. We're still in a very precarious situation here. Inflation is still a thing that we're struggling with. There hasn't been any real success story from the Biden presidency so far. And that shows you that he just simply can't get things done. I mean, Donald Trump passed tax cuts, and you might dislike the tax cuts, but hey, bottom line is he actually did a thing. What thing has Joe Biden done so far? And because there's no answer to that, I think that's really what they should be hitting on, that he is, yes, an empty suit, and we're not accomplishing anything, and all of our problems that existed 4 years ago are getting worse.
Michael, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much. It's a great way to begin the week with a guy like you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, always good to be on the show.
Thank you, Mike. Michael Schaus, former communication director for NPRI and the founder of ShausCreative.com. Stay with us. More to do as we continue. Newsmax is reacting to Tucker Carlson in a big way. They got a brand new show that that begins, I believe, this week. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
When the whole world seems to be in a state of confusion, Andy Vieira and Mark Thomas help you sort it out. Join the club weekday morning 6 to 9 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hi, I'm Danielle Gallant, your assemblywoman from Nevada's 23rd District. With the Biden-Harris liberal agenda causing skyrocketing inflation, rising crime, and a crisis at our southern border, it's up to strong conservative representatives in Nevada to stop the chaos and protect our businesses, our communities, and our constitutional rights. As a small business owner and a mother of two young boys, my focus is to advocate for small business, school choice for our children, and freedom from government interference in our lives. You don't need government dictating how you should live, work, and be happy. That's why I decided to run for the Nevada Assembly. Now, I'm proud to be working alongside Governor Joe Lombardo to protect Nevada families and their rights. I know you know best how to provide for your family and raise and educate your kids. My conservative colleagues and I are fighting to protect Second Amendment rights, help our police forces fight rising crime, and pass laws that fight election fraud and secure our elections. We are working to get it done the Nevada way.
Hi, my name is Katrin Ivanov. I escaped from communist Bulgaria to capitalist America. I am urging you to become active in fixing the disastrous direction our country is headed. We need more than just casting your vote or yelling on a Facebook post. My goal is to build a powerful movement by helping you to start actively talking with your neighbors and supporting trusted candidates. There is an old saying that time is money. Donating your time is just as valuable as donating cash. I want to help you find the best use of your time to save this country. On ways to join this movement, please visit mrsfixit.us. That's mrsfixit.us or text me at 702-722-7225. I truly need your help. I can't fix this alone, but together we can fix it. Paid by Friends of Mrs. Fixit.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
The same great show with the same great host,
just at a new time.
Live and local with Kevin Wall, now weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
In case you missed it, tonight at 6, our time, Newsmax with a new show featuring Chris Plant. Chris is a guy out of D.C. Who is a syndicated radio host. I'll bet you I've substituted for him, filled in for him maybe 100 times over the years. He's a good guy, a smart guy, and he's conservative, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But it's on Newsmax beginning at 6 o'clock, and it begins tonight. Let's go to your phone calls. Go to Brady. Brady, you're up, and you're on Live and Local. Go right ahead.
Yeah, right on, Kevin. I wanted to bring up the situation in Russia. We had a whistleblower that came out a week ago and divulged that we've had troops there since 2014, and it's kind of mysterious that our government's really not acknowledging that we're at war, World War III with Russia. We got about 25,000 troops there right now, and they're having a hard time covering up all the dead bodies that are coming back in coffins right now. And they can't keep covering it up. We got big problems. We got the 82nd Airborne over there right now. There's how many thousand people? We got the 56th Brigade over there. That's how many thousand people? And the worst thing is, everybody that was appointed by Joe Biden, from Lloyd Austin to Neely to all his cabinet members, not one was sworn in and notarized. So right now, we are living under a true military coup, just like what they did in Ukraine in 2014. Our own military is doing a coup against the American people.
Hey, Brady,
how's that for a Monday?
There you go. Thank you, man. Well, first of all, it has been no real secret that we have troops all over the globe. And regardless, whether it's the Middle East or it's Eastern Europe, or we've got troops everywhere. That's not really a secret. Now, when you start talking about 25,000 of this or 15,000 of that, then it becomes an issue. Anyway, let's go to Frank. Frank, you're up and you're on Live and Local. Go right ahead.
Kevin, I didn't know we were supposed to be a welfare state in this country, and I didn't know we were supposed to. I don't think you were taught either. You know, back when we could put you and I can put our public education up against the Ivy League, Stanford, and Berkeley now, as they're getting indoctrination. But big here to Brady. We got Green Berets and special ops in the Ukraine, and I lived for 6 months in the Philippines, and I didn't even know they had islands. The Army had me so busy. We got a bunch of jarheads and grunts up and down the islands. And I don't know what the hell this illegitimate, infirm, treasonous one thinks he's going to pull off on the American people. But, Kevin, we're hitting a point where, no, we've had enough. We have had enough of this. Thank you for taking my time, buddy.
Thank you, Frank.
Keep knocking it out of the park.
Thank you, man. Eventually, the American people are going to say enough of this. And, you know, the fact that we have troops around the globe does not worry me. I mean, I like that. I want people, you know, I want the American people to know that we are protected. Now the question is, are we going to start World War III that way? And nobody wants that. Big news, okay? In fact, let's go to cut one. James Comer was on Sunday Morning Futures yesterday. And you know the deal we make. You go out, play golf, play tennis, have brunch, go to church, sleep in. And we'll watch the Sunday shows for you. This was James Comer from Sunday Morning Futures, that the FBI is on the clock to deliver documents in the Biden crime family probe that could end up with our sitting president being indicted. We will get to that coming up in just a couple minutes, but going to cut two. This is with Maria Bartiromo. This will be a very big week in the Biden crime family probe. Listen to this.
What can you tell us about this latest investigation of influence peddling on a sitting president? I know that you're planning a press conference this Wednesday. What will we learn?
Well, Senator Grassley and I received a tip on a whistleblower. Senator Grassley was the lead in this. We reviewed documents from the legally protected whistleblower, highly credible whistleblower, that would implicate Joe Biden in a pay-for-play scheme, trying to set up a deal to receive funds to he and his family in exchange for foreign policy decisions. Now, that fits a pattern, Maria, of what we've seen with these bank records. And on Wednesday, we're going to present to the American people all the information that we've received thus far pertaining to bank records. We're going to disclose many of the different LLCs, many of the different transactions that all these different Biden family members have gotten from our adversaries around the world. Now, we don't believe this was just a coincidence that all these Biden family members were receiving money from this web of LLCs into their personal bank accounts. We believe this was done in exchange for something that then Vice President Biden and now President Biden would have done. So this whistleblower is going to provide some very crucial information to our investigation, and we've given the FBI until May the 10th to produce this document. So the ball is in the FBI's court with respect to this whistleblower.
And what that means, is this is all going to be out in the open. Now the question is, what will CNN, what will MSNBC, what will NBC?